In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Mary Jane Bunce by her family, and it's supposed to say there for Mr. Jim Wallace. That forgot to be moved in the physical calendar, but that's what the Mass is being offered for as well. His Mass was to be last Wednesday when we were unable to keep that intention. Thank you for coming on the Mass of our Dolorous Mother. It's a really amazing feast to be able to celebrate together today. The Sisters in Carmel wish you well. I spoke with them this morning, and they're doing great. One request that I'll make of you right now is to pray for a young lady by the name of Alina, who I'm, God willing, going to do her wedding Mass in on the vigil of Our Lady of Guadalupe's feast day in December. God willing, we met her there in Texas on our youth retreat, and she asked me to do her wedding at that. So we're working on that, and pray for her. There's lots of struggles that come up anytime you try to do something great for God, anytime you try to enter into your vocation. The evil one is waiting there to trip you up and to bring all sorts of difficulties, and she's definitely experiencing that right now. So pray for her. She's joining in intercession through the Dolorous Mother to get to the heart of the matter of what's plaguing her. So that's basically what I would say to you. Anyway, you want to know more on that, listen to the homily I gave this morning. Just want to point out two things to you. Do you know that we have two feast days of Our Lady of Sorrows? Two of them every year. Do you know when they are? One is obviously today, so I'm going to take that one away from you. What's the other one? When is it celebrated? Even if you took a wild guess, you probably wouldn't be too far off. Not the presentation, but it's the Friday before Good Friday. The Friday before Good Friday is another one of those feasts. That's a feast that's kind of been suppressed in favor of just having one in the calendar presently, but that used to be celebrated there, so you'd have our Lord's sacrifice there, and the week before we'd meditate on what Our Lady did as well at that same time, meditating upon that. So it's a beautiful thing with the feast that's there. Now, Paul VII was this great pope in the 1800s, remember the time when Napoleon was going around the world conquering. Going around the world destroying, going around the world bringing about lots of evil in the world and subjugating the church. He went so far as to take the Pope hostage. He took the Pope hostage after feigning a peace with him. Then he conquered the Papal States, again invaded for this other time, and then took the Pope back with him. And for 5 years, in the very beginning of the 1800s, I think it ended in 1811 or so, when he finally released the Pope. And during those five years, the Pope, actually, it worked out well for him to be in captivity, because the rest of the world saw what an evil thing it was that this Napoleon did to the Pope, that it caused everybody more and more around the whole world to have deeper compassion, deeper love for him, even among Protestant countries, because they saw how terribly he was treated, and yet how he suffered it well, and didn't speak evil against Napoleon, but called the whole of the church while he was in captivity just to continue to pray, and united the world in prayer because of that. And so, after he was released, what he did, he found himself, during his exile there, during his hostage time, he found himself so deeply identified with Our Lady that he decided to institute, once again, this feast that was practiced not by the whole of the church in that way, but was practiced only by not the Passionists, but I forget the group that it was that had it as their particular religious feast that they were celebrating. So he extended it to the whole of the church and enshrined it in a very beautiful way from that time onward within our church, through the readings that we have here, the readings that we see here, both in the Old Mass and in the New Mass, although in different, they switch them around just a little bit if you look at the prayers between the two. It always focuses on two events, which our present Mass allows us to do for the optional readings, one or the other, the Gospels. The first being what you had us go through right here today with Our Lady at the foot of the cross. That's one, where he says, behold your mother, behold your son. And the other is there, the movement, as Sister pointed out, the presentation when Simeon says, a sword shall pierce your heart as well. At that time. And so these mysteries are the ones that the whole of what we are focuses upon at this time, to unite ourselves to those great moments. Because in that we see what? Simeon prophesying that a sword is going to pierce your heart. And we see here at the foot of the cross where it actually happens. We see the prediction there, and we see the execution of it there. As it speaks about in the psalm, who knows a sorrow like my sorrow, like Our Lady's sorrow, who experienced everything just as you as mothers know what it is when those you love, your children, experience any kind of sorrow, or your husbands experience any kind of sorrow in that way when they're attacked and abused. You feel it more because you feel more for those that you love. We as men don't have that same gift as God has given you in general, as we don't share in that same way. And so Our Lady, in an even greater way, because she so perfectly united herself to God from the very moment of her conception and never again chose anything against that, and everything was always toward God, toward the Lord, toward a deeper experiencing of everything that was there. Remember, Our Lady, when she gave birth to our Lord, didn't experience a single bit of pain. As the saints speak about it, as though because she had not been heir to the fall in that way, having this immaculate conception, a reset button on creation there in her, she being the new Eve, she did not have to suffer through the fall, the curse of that which is pain in childbirth. And so our Lord passed through her, as the saints say, as light passes through a pane of glass. So too our Lord, who is light itself, was translated from her womb into the world in that way. What a glorious gift. And so because she had no pain in childbirth, there always must be pain in childbirth. So where did she experience that pain in childbirth? At the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, where she didn't become merely the mother of Christ, which she had been from there, that moment when he passed through her in that miraculous way, when she gave birth to you and me at the foot of the cross as her beloved children. Those are the pains of childbirth with which she won our birth into the church, birth into Christ. So we give thanks to Our Lady in sorrows on this day. Even though I don't think it's fully been approved by the church in any formal way, it has to have been, because the Pope himself is anything he does, to some degree at least, particularly if it spans the test of time, has some sort of approbation. And so I want to share with you the Litany of the Seven Sorrows, which was written there by Pope Pius VII. You can pray it with me. It's just like any other litany, just saying, have mercy on us and pray for us. This is the Litany of the Our Lady of Seven Sorrows, written by Pope Pius VII, who instituted this feast that we celebrate today for the whole church and not just a small subsection of a religious group. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us. God the Father of heaven, God the Son, Redeemer of the world, God the Holy Spirit, Holy Trinity, one God, Holy Mary, Holy Mother of God, Holy Virgin of Virgins, Mother of the Crucified, Sorrowful Mother, Mournful Mother, Sighing Mother, Afflicted Mother, Forsaken Mother, Desolate Mother, Mother Most Sad, Mother Set Around with Anguish, Mother Overwhelmed by Grief, Mother Transfixed by a Sword, Mother Crucified in Your Heart, Mother Bereaved of Your Son, O Sighing Dove, Mother of Sorrows, Font of Tears, Sea of Bitterness, Field of Tribulation, Mass of Suffering, Mirror of Patience, Rock of Constancy, Remedy in Perplexity, Joy of the Afflicted, Ark of the Desolate, Refuge of the Abandoned, Shield of the Oppressed, Conqueror of the Uncredulous, Solace of the Wretched, Medicine of the Sick, Help of the Faint, Strength of the Weak, Protectress of those who fight, Haven of the Shipwrecked, Calmer of the Tempest, Companion of the Sorrowful, Retreat of those who groan, Terror of Treacherous, Standard Bearer of the Martyrs, Treasure of the Faithful, O Light of Confessors, Pearl of Virgins, Comfort of Widows, Joy of All Saints, Queen of Your Servants, Holy Mary, who alone are beyond compare. Pray for us, most sorrowful Virgin, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. O God, in whose passion, according to the prophecy of Simeon, a sword of grief pierced through the most sweet soul of thy glorious Virgin Mary, Mother of God, grant, we pray, that we who celebrate the memory of her seven sorrows may obtain the happy effect of your passions, who live and reign with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, who live and reign, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.